The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Tobacco company Philip Morris is aiming to terminate its cigarette sales in the UK in order to work towards achieving a smoke-free planet by 2030. The tobacco tycoon responsible for the distribution of Marlboro cigarettes, among a load of other brands, is now advocating for a smoke-free future. To further discuss this, I'm joined by the chair of the policy group on tobacco at the Royal College of Physicians of Ireland, Professor Des Cox. Good morning. Welcome to the show, Des.
Morning, Anton. Thanks for having me on.
It is a pleasure. Is there a certain irony to the leading purveyor, or at least one of the world's leading purveyor of cigarettes, which sells millions, if not billions, of the things, saying, do you know what would be a good idea if people didn't smoke?
Yeah, on the surface, this looks like a great endeavour by the CEO of a company that's been responsible for the deaths of millions of people. I suppose what on the surface what they're doing is they're investing in alternative nicotine and tobacco products, and they're claiming that these products are less harmful and that people should be switching over to them. They're also investing in pharmaceutical companies. And they've also created a research foundation called the Foundation for a Smoke-Free World, which was created by Philip Morris and is solely funded by them. So on the surface, they've gone forward over the last couple of years with these different endeavours. But actually, the reality is their current business model is severely under threat. Their tobacco prevalence rates across the world, in most countries are declining. And obviously that's due to increased regulation on tobacco products, due to taxation measures and the banning of, advertising, marketing, and all that. But I suppose what's happened in the past is tobacco companies have made the switch. We'll say the introduction of lighter cigarettes, or lights, as they call them, and now they're moving into different products which they are promoting as less harmful. And I suppose the other thing is what they're actually doing doesn't really match what they say they're doing in practice.
How so?
Where it comes down to is that what they're advocating really here is that people change over to these newer products, and that's what their messaging is, rather than actually quit tobacco. But we also know as well that the tobacco companies have been engaging in nefarious means of promoting their products. So, for instance, while they're coming out and saying this in public, in private and behind the scenes, they're engaging in different tactics like using third-party techniques, so PR consulting firms, to make legal challenges. If any country are trying to increase their tobacco laws or increase restrictions on tobacco, they're immediately in with legal challenges.
Oh, this was done notably with plain packaging in, I think, Australia,
exactly.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, and in this country as well, when the plain packaging legislation was came into force, not Philip Morris, but another company put forward a legal challenge in 2015. And then more recently, in other countries, they're promoting these legal challenges. And especially in the developed world, they've become experts at finding loopholes to bypass tobacco control restrictions, so much so that actually tobacco is increasing in a number of African countries where, across the world, has been largely is decreasing. They've been caught using social media influencers as well, especially with these newer products. Philip Morris, we'll just stick to them for the moment, I suppose. They've developed these heat not burn tobacco products where they claim that they're less harmful, but there's no evidence that they are less harmful than regular tobacco products. There's still tobacco in them, but they have got social media influencers on Instagram and other social media platforms to promote these devices, and that's a kind of a tactic that they're doing. But
at the risk of having to do it almost literally, let me devil's advocate this for a second. Will Philip Morris and the other big tobacco companies not say, look, there are X amount of current cigarette addicts? if we just fold our tent and go away, all that will happen is they will buy somebody else's product and they will continue to be cigarette addicts. Therefore, the best public health altruistic thing that we can do is engage in international, multinational weaning. And that's what we're doing. Aren't we great, lads?
Yeah, no, I absolutely. That's what they're saying. And as I say, on the surface, it looks good. But actually, that's not what they're doing in practice. They're still introducing new brands. They're still redesigning their products. They're actually also expanding their tobacco business through acquiring other tobacco firms. So that they're not actually doing what they say, you know. And also, the fact of the matter is that what they see is that these newer products are a Trojan horse for actually attracting new customers and sustaining existing ones. So it's not.
But
about
again, let me take the devil's advocate position. Will they not say the reason that they are doing that is because the new products that they are providing to people are significantly safer than their previous products? So what harm?
Yeah, but I suppose, you know, the two products that they are promoting is, as I say, the heat not burn tobacco products, but there's no evidence that they're any less harmful. And we know now as well, there's evidence surrounding e-cigarettes that they're not harmful. They're not harmless. They are associated with cardiovascular, respiratory effects, and they probably do damage your lungs and your heart if you use them long term. But what they want to do is keep people on them long term. I mean, the whole concept of these e-cigarettes is that they should, well, what they're promoted is as a tobacco cessation. But I suppose if you look at other tobacco cessation treatments and therapies, so it's, you know, you're on them for a prescribed length of time and then you come off them and then you're off tobacco.
But Philip Morris will say they're putting their money where their mouth is. They'll say, we have just called on the UK government to ban cigarettes by 2030. We wouldn't do that if we weren't online to make sure that we had transitioned all of our customers off them by that point.
Yeah, no, as you say, that's a specific country, but actually, you know, where they're exploiting is countries where they don't have very strong tobacco regulations. So for instance, the UK and ourselves, we have a target to be smoke free by 2025, and the UK it's 2030. Now we're nowhere near that, but as you say, to say something specifically is in the UK, that's because one of their other tactics is to align themselves with public health organisations and they're trying to engage with the public health officials and governments to say that, well, look, we're part of the solution here. I understand that, but actually, on one hand, they're saying that, but on the other hand, they're introducing new brands in Indonesia and they're across Africa. They're marketing and advertising their products. I mean, you know, you're a big motorsport fan, I believe. Well, you like cars, I know. So, I mean, you know, Philip Morris still sponsor, and a lot of tobacco companies still sponsor motorsport, and they are use that to try and promote their products.
Well, that raises an interesting one that I'd like your explanation of this, because we've obviously seen a radical diminution in the amount of people who smoke in the Western world and in Europe, and a number of steps have been taken. You mentioned that the motorsport, the ban on sponsorship, where it was a constant, very overt thing. What have been the big successful drivers in that reduction in smoking, and what are the steps that are needed to be put in place to get us to that final smoke-free end result?
Yeah, so the research, and this has been shown time and time again, the biggest factors that have led to the decreased prevalence in tobacco has been increased legislation. That plain packaging, the ban on point of sale advertising and marketing, smoke-free workplace ban, introducing smoke-free environments. So it's denormalizing, or you know, it's where they're trying to create more spaces where people don't have the opportunity to have a cigarette. And so they've been the key drivers of actually tobacco prevalence going down in a number of countries. Where countries where there are no where e-cigarettes are banned, smoking prevalence is very low in some countries like Australia. And this is down to increased legislation, and obviously increasing the taxation on making them expensive has also had a dramatic impact on decreasing the prevalence.
And what then gets us to the final ideal end result? I mean, you're chair of the policy group on tobacco at the Royal College of Physicians. So what advice do you give policymakers as to how to finally quash tobacco as an issue?
Yeah, no. So I think we need to be more inventive about how we approach tobacco control in this country and across the world. I do think that we've made some significant gains, but I do think that there's other things we can be doing. For instance, we would be advocates of increasing the age of sale for tobacco to 21. Also, to try and get young people. Most people start smoking cigarettes in young adulthood or adolescence, so trying to turn off the tap
that'll be a difficult door to push, won't it? Given that the age old argument of I can vote but I can't smoke.
Yeah, but what you're preventing is, a young person developing a lifelong habit that's going to negatively impact their health, there are other avenues, it's continuing the increased legislation, increasing the price and taxation as well, and tobacco price of cigarettes as well. So it's maintaining the current tobacco control measures, but also adding in newer ones. I'm just using that as an example, but I do feel that we need to be thinking ahead, and how do we get to this 2025 smoke-free. Increased resources in quit.ie and increased resources for people who want to quit, because most people who smoke say they admit that they want to quit and they don't want to be smokers. So it's helping them and giving additional support and increasing resources for quitting services across the country. Additional research in the area absolutely would needs funding as well.
Des, thanks very much for joining us on the show this morning. That is Professor Des Cox, who is chair of the policy group on tobacco at the Royal College of Physicians of Ireland.